It was 26 years ago in May that John Paul II, during the great Jubilee year of the new millennium, that he said he was going to adopt something that had been told to a Polish mystic and make the second Sunday of Easter Divine Mercy Sunday. And he took a lot of flack for this because some theologians, maybe not necessarily incorrectly, say that God's mercy is always present. But our Lord, when he appeared to St. Faustina, was very much in the same vein as when he appeared to St. Margaret Mary. And we have depictions of both of those over here. We have the Sacred Heart, and then right to the left of our Lord is the Divine Mercy. And when the Lord appeared, he said that the love of man has grown cold. People are indifferent to his mercy. And so in the beginning of the Jubilee of the new millennium, John Paul wanted to bring renewed attention to the mercy and love of God. And this Sunday that we celebrate, he didn't change any of the readings. We listened to this same reading before 2000 and after, which is the institution of the sacrament of confession. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained." Because in a real way, the two sacraments that are intimately tied to divine mercy are baptism and confession. For all of this week, and still today, you'll notice right before the consecration, I'll say a prayer that reminds us of those who received baptism last week at the Easter Vigil. And then after baptism, because the Lord knows us, he gave us another opportunity for his mercy. And of course, that's in the confessional. I was recently listening to an interview with some of the Sisters for Life, and this one lady that they had been trying to work with for a while, and finally they were able to establish a relationship, and she came to one of their healing retreats for post-abortive women. Of course, when they were talking to her, they didn't know that she was that way, that she had had an abortion many years ago. But eventually, as they established the relationship, this woman went on the retreat, and part of that retreat is having the opportunity to confess your sins. And when the retreat was over, she was so overcome with her experience with divine mercy that she said to the sisters, "Sisters, you need to sell this. It's so amazing. People would pay to experience what I have received." But a lot of people won't even go. And that's why the Lord appeared to St. Faustina. For us, it's free. The gift of divine mercy is a free gift from God. Every grace that God gives is a free gift. There's not one grace that you can say that you deserve and he has to give you. But the divine mercy did cost something. And we look at it every time we come into this church. And St. Jose Maria, when he comments on the crucifix, he says, "The Lord is not up there in anger and wrath at what the sins of the people have done to him. He's up there in the most powerful act of love known to man." And just like we heard in the reading from St. Peter, it's all about the salvation of souls. First and foremost, my own and your own. That should be our number one worry in this life, is that our souls are saved by the grace that God offers. And in his goodness, he continues to offer forgiveness, even when we've wandered far, far from him. And so today, when we celebrate in a particular way with the focus on divine mercy, it's good for us to evaluate our priorities. What truly is first in your life? Do you love God above all things with your heart, mind, body, and soul? If you do that, that does not mean you won't sin. But that means you have the first priority right. And we all know that not a lot of people have the first priority right. Because once we love God with our whole heart, mind, body, and soul, then as St. Paul says, I no longer live me. I live because Christ is in me. It's a whole new way of living. And I hope if you're not one of those people, you've met one, because it's very powerful. When you meet someone whose only thought or first thought is salvation, first for themselves and then for someone else, it's so powerful to do whatever needs to be done to get somebody to come into contact with the divine mercy of Jesus Christ. That's what the Sisters of Life do every day for a particular group of people. But it's not only post-abortive women who need divine mercy. Every single one of us needs divine mercy. And he's more than willing to give it. He's more than willing to give it. So when we evaluate our priorities, we have to ask, do I love God above all things? And then, do I value his mercy? And I think you can kind of, the way you can maybe make a judgment about that is ask yourself how often you go to confession. John Paul II, in the 1980s, he wrote an apostolic letter on confession, and he asked the question, why have the confession lines shrunk, but the communion lines grown? Because there's a relationship between the two that we don't want to have any mortal sin, of course, on our soul when we receive the Most Holy Eucharist. But yet some people rarely go to confession. And so the saintly Pope commented, and he said, what's really interesting is the more you go to confession, the more you realize you're a sinner. And the less you go to confession, the less you realize you're a sinner. Because you get farther and farther away from the source of his mercy. And so if we're going to love God above all things, and if we're going to value his divine mercy, then we need to frequent the sacrament of confession. Make it a regular part of your life. And then be an apostle of confession. Bring people to confession. If you meet somebody you know that's fallen away from the faith, invite them to confession with you. You don't have to be pushy, but an invitation can mean the world. And maybe they won't take that invitation today, but maybe you planted a seed. And then the divine mercy will be known and loved even more by one more person. Because this feast, like the whole of the Easter celebration, is really about one thing. It's about you and me receiving the grace of the Lord on this earth so that we can live with him forever in heaven. That's why divine mercy exists, because he wants to spend eternity with you.